The artificial intelligence beat this week has a quality that I describe as friction between the technology's extraordinary pace and the human, institutional, and legal systems struggling to process it. Let me start with the most visceral image: body bags placed outside OpenAI's San Francisco headquarters on Wednesday by military protesters. The Wall Street Journal simultaneously published a detailed investigation into rising threats and attacks targeting AI company executives. The report describes executives traveling with armed guards, intrusion attempts, and a wave of violent communications that has become routine enough that multiple companies have formalized security protocols around it.
To understand why the military angle is specifically generating that level of protest, you have to look at the DARPA Air Force Venom test this week, an AI-controlled F-16 completing a live flight demonstration. Venom, which stands for Viper Experimentation and Next Generation Operations Model, has been in development for several years, but a successful live test is qualitatively different from simulation. The protesters' concern is that autonomous AI systems are being integrated into lethal military platforms faster than any meaningful ethical framework has been established to govern them. That's not a fringe position. It's a concern shared by many researchers working inside AI labs.
DeepMind's warning this week directly addresses the pace problem, though in a scientific rather than military context. The company flagged that AI systems are now generating scientific hypotheses and proposed discoveries faster than physical laboratory capacity can validate them. This creates a kind of epistemic bottleneck. You have a flood of AI-generated claims about biology, chemistry, and materials science that may be correct, may be wrong, and may be wrong in subtle ways that take years to surface. Google DeepMind and Isomorphic Labs are trying to address one version of this problem through their new AI Bioresilience Program, which combines 15-plus partnerships focused on pathogen detection and outbreak response. That's AI working on biological threats, which is the constructive frame on a problem that has an alarming frame as well.
The OpenAI news this week has layers. The headline-grabbing item is OpenAI launching its first hardware product alongside a $70 ChatGPT-branded basketball. The basketball is clearly a brand extension rather than a serious product, but the hardware launch itself is not trivial. It signals OpenAI's ambition to move beyond software and API access into physical products, which is a significant strategic expansion and one that puts them in more direct competition with Apple and Google in the device space. What the hardware actually is matters, and we're watching closely.
Then there's the personnel story. The former OpenAI executive fired over what's being described as an adult mode dispute, apparently related to disagreements about how much the company should restrict or permit certain types of resorts. AI-generated content has joined Founders Fund, Peter Thiel's venture firm. That's a notable landing spot. Founders Fund has been systematically positioning itself in the AI space and bringing in someone with deep inside knowledge of OpenAI's internal decision-making and product debates gives them an informational and strategic advantage in evaluating competing ventures.
Mira Murati's startup, releasing an open-weight AI model this week, is a significant counterpoint to the closed-model strategy that OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google have predominantly pursued. Open-weight models, where the model weights are publicly released, allow enterprises to run inference on their own infrastructure without sending data to third-party servers. That addresses a real and growing concern. Enterprise customers are increasingly reluctant to route sensitive proprietary data through cloud-based AI APIs. Murati is betting that the enterprise market will bifurcate, with a meaningful segment willing to sacrifice some capability for data sovereignty.
And Google's Gemini 3.5 Pro delay is the flip side of that competitive picture. Delays in flagship model releases are consequential in an industry where capability releases drive customer acquisition, developer ecosystem development, and investor sentiment. The report that the model falls short of internal benchmarks before release is an encouraging sign of quality control discipline, but it also means Google cedes ground to competitors for a longer window. Anthropic's Mythos model, meanwhile, mentioned in the context of Wall Street CEOs, including Bank of America's Brian Moynihan, warning about cybersecurity risks from a powerful AI tool focused on that domain, suggest the frontier is moving in directions that are generating genuine concern at the highest levels of the financial system.
The Palantir CTO's accusation that China is stealing American AI through what he calls distillation attacks deserves more attention than it typically gets. Distillation attacks involve using the outputs of a frontier model to train a smaller, cheaper model that replicates much of its capability. If done at sufficient scale against closed proprietary models, it could substantially reduce the time and compute advantage that Western labs currently hold. The Trump aides privately conceding that China is cheating on the trade deal, reported this week, suggests that whatever enforcement mechanisms were built into recent agreements aren't functioning as intended, which has implications beyond just tariffs and into technology transfer.
Here's where I want to drop in what I think of as the curriculum corner for today, because the antitrust angle on AI is increasingly important to understand. Marcus, if OpenAI is selling hardware, distributing through existing channels, and operating a dominant consumer AI product simultaneously, at what point does antitrust law become relevant?
It's a question I've been thinking about too, and it's worth explaining how antitrust law actually works, because the common understanding is often wrong. The Sherman Act of 1890, the foundation of U.S. antitrust law, doesn't prohibit being big. It prohibits using monopoly power to exclude competition or harm consumers. The legal definition of monopoly requires both a dominant market share and the ability to control prices or exclude competitors. Courts have consistently held that high market share alone isn't sufficient for an antitrust violation. You also have to show anti-competitive conduct, something like predatory pricing, exclusive dealing arrangements that foreclose rivals, or tying products together to leverage dominance from one market into another.
Which is where the hardware launch gets interesting. If OpenAI were to, say, require hardware purchasers to use ChatGPT and exclude competing AI services, that tying arrangement would start to look like classic Section 1 conduct. Or if they priced API access in ways designed to disadvantage developers building on competing models, the relevant market definition would be contested. Is the market AI assistance, foundation models, or AI-enabled devices? Courts have struggled with market definition in tech cases going back to the Microsoft case in 2001. The Google search antitrust ruling is the most recent major precedent, and it took years of litigation. So the short answer is, antitrust law is relevant, but enforcement is slow, and market definition is everything.